Good evening and welcome to Horror. I'm Lee.
I'm Chris.
I'm Adam.
And we are here this evening to cover the Romford Film Festival Horrific, which we made our first outing to this year. We were actually organized enough to put it in the fucking diary last year when we missed it. So we finally got there. There won't be
Is
spoilers, but there will be swearing, just to warn you. I've already
yeah.
said fuck, so
But was anyone else slightly like, why did we not come here before?
I've
What was wrong
wanted
with
to.
us?
I've wanted to every year, but it's one of those things because I've not been before. I haven't got it in my mind. Oh, that
Yeah,
happens at
this
the
is
end of
coming up.
February.
We need to plan it. Yeah.
Yeah. So every year, it comes up on Instagram, like people who I follow, independent filmmakers and people, post that they were there. And every year I go, oh, bollocks, we've missed it again. So yeah, this year, like last year, when I missed it, I put it straight in the diary for this year, which is how we managed to be organized enough to get tickets.
Well, I could
In
say, well
fact,
done.
you were so organized, Lee. You messaged me a month early.
Yes,
Yeah,
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 that would
yeah.
have been good.
I
It wouldn't have
messaged at
been
the end
quite
of
so enjoyable going
the
to.
So for anyone who's unaware, Romford in London, I think they're now saying Romford is part of London, is a thing.
East
In the
London.
London borough of
Yeah.
Heathrow. Yes. There is an independent cinema there. It used to be an Odeon back in the day. Like I saw some classic, like I saw Terminator 2 there for the first time. I went on one of my first dates there. Like it was a big part of my
Oh,
childhood.
that's got some big memories.
Oh, it has. Yeah, and basically it stood empty for at least a decade. And then an independent bought it and made it a kind of, they were selling it cheap. It was like a fiver a ticket, any screen, any time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and now because they've got this space and they've got so many screens, they've put all the money they've made back into. So like them seats yesterday were so comfortable, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've really made a thing of it, and they do like this, like cult screenings and loads of stuff. So it's a fantastic resource right on our doorstep.
That's it. I've got to say, like, I didn't really rush at it when it's been mentioned before because it's Romford. So I absolutely did not have the correct expectation for just how fantastic it was.
I was blown away. It was great. And again, it's got that lovely big foyer area. That's always it, like it's always just been a waste of space, effectively. They've got obviously they've got the concession stand there, but it's like it's a big foyer that had nothing in it. But for this, what I mean, when it was an Odeon, I don't mean since it was premiere, because now they've got a bar area, yeah. And then for like stuff like this, they had all their concession stands set, like all their people selling stuff and celebrity signing shit. Oh, and it was just it was so well laid out and so
Yeah.
well planned. Everything was, I was blown away. I can't wait for next year.
And talking of celebrity signing shit.
Yes, I accidentally caught the eye of a guy behind a stall who I didn't recognize, to be fair. Yeah, and he just kind of out of the blue, but
It looks a bit different.
he
A
did
lot more
stand
friendly, I would say.
yeah, at 7 foot 1,
But
he was
once he
hard
stands
to
up, yeah.
But yeah, so Ross Sambridge was there, who was the guy who played the character of
Supreme Leader Snoke.
yes. And he was also one of the Wookiees in Solo. Yeah,
Yeah.
and I just kind of caught his eye and he was like, hey, are you a Star Wars fan? I was like, who isn't a Star Wars fan? And then it just got chained to him for 15. What an amazing guy. He was so amiable and so lovely. And yeah, and I got a lovely signed photograph and yeah, got a photograph taken. Yeah, it was just, oh, it's a lovely day, wasn't it?
It really was, yeah. I also spoke to Lauren Barnett was down there, who I know from I listened to a thing called the London Horror Movie Club, which is a podcast, and it's her. Sometimes it's just her, and other times it's her and her brother. Basically, they're American, but they talk about specifically horror films set in London. And you, don't quite really, even though that seems like there's going to be a lot, you don't realize there is a lot of London, like literal London-based horror films, not British horror films, or like specifically London. And it's really good because you get the sort of perspective of people who didn't grow up in England. So, it's they have a very different take on it. And no, it's a good podcast, but yeah, she was really really nice, because I said to her, I listened to the podcast, and yeah, she was no, she was really cool. But she was there with a guy called Tony Morden, who she's also an actress, and she's in something called The Witches of the Sands, and the director of that was down there, sort of, and he's like doing
That does
sort of
look
pre
great.
publicity and post-production on that as well. And yeah, he was really cool. But they had like a glossy book of set photographs and sort of like the making of the film and everything else like that. It looks mental. And yeah, I can never think more. That's a very high credit that I tend to give things. So I'm really looking forward to that actually coming out, so we get to see it maybe next year. I don't know.
Oh, fingers crossed, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I it isn't a podcast I'd come across before, but Adam came here before we left to go to the film festival and was telling me about it. And I was like, I'm surprised I've not heard of this podcast, because it sounds great. Yeah, and then meeting Lauren, and she was lovely. So yeah, that is definitely, so I had to scroll through today and had a look at all the episodes. Yeah, and you're right, there's so much stuff. I was like, oh shit, yeah, there's loads of amazing films that I'm a massive fan of. So I cannot wait to binge through that podcast now. That's my task for the week.
I'm assuming we haven't covered them all.
We've covered a
If
number of them.
have we, yeah.
Yeah, there are. There's. I like. I believe. What's there? Deathline's in there.
I was going to say that that was the one I was absolutely thinking of. I
American
couldn't.
Werewolf.
Well,
Yeah. And also the thing that, because Lee mentioned last episode about Horrors of the Black Museum, him and Jennifer have been watching. That's another one that's a London set horror film that they talk about.
Yeah, I will definitely be getting stuck into that tomorrow. First thing tomorrow morning in the office, I will be getting into that and hopefully binging through a load of those episodes and getting caught up. You mentioned, Adam, there's a book that you were hoping to get, but she'd sold out, which is excellent that she'd sold out,
Yes.
of Walks of London, which
Yeah, it's
take
called
in all the.
Death Lines, and it was a book that I'd sort of, so I listened to the podcast, and I was aware of the book, and then I said to Lee, oh, she's down there like promoting, and the book will be for sale, so I was going to get it then. So I've ordered it now anyway, because it'd been on my to buy list for some time anyway. And
He didn't
yeah,
need
it's
much pushing, to be fair. When she said, "I haven't got a copy," I then went straight to the bar, and by the time I came back from the bar, he's like, "Yep, I've ordered it." He just pulled it up on his phone there and then, and was like, "Yeah, I'm not waiting any longer. I told myself I was going to have this now, and I want it."
yeah, that's the way to
Mm-hmm.
do it. And but yeah, I think it's like I say, it's called Death Lines, Walking London's Horror History. And it's basically sort of like taking you through the roots of stuff that's, because that's the interesting thing, is there's a lot of, not it's not just London films, but there's the combination of, you get locations that become iconic because of the film, and then there's use of iconic locations in a film.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a weird sort of thing that you got, like, because obviously it's not Hobbs End in, there isn't a Hobbs End in Quatermass in real life. But there is a Russell Tube, so you get sort of
Yeah.
all these, yeah, weird sort of stuff that's legendary, but not actually, it's an iconic film landmark, but not an iconic landmark.
Yeah. Excellent. Yes. Yeah, so that's so. anyone like us who's kept saying, oh, I need to pull my finger out, get it in your diary this year and go, because it's excellent. Yeah, we had a really good day. I still say, because I'm a fidgety fucker, I still think two films is pretty much my limit in a day, just because I just start getting too. I mean, poor Chris and Adam had to put up with me fidgeting the whole way through the film. I cannot sit still for more than 3 minutes at a time. And then I get conscious that I'm fidgeting and that I must be annoying other people.
Which probably
And
makes you
that
fidget a bit
make
more.
exactly, which makes me even more uncomfortable. But those seats, as I say, in that cinema were, they were all lovely and they reclined back, but there's no
Yeah.
leg room, so you don't then lean on the
Nice.
person behind
And
you.
they got an extra little tilt mechanism in the seat
Yeah.
parts.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's good.
Can I just say, the first time that I leant back and that happened, thought I'd broken the seat, didn't want to make a fuss, and then sort of tried to sit suspended, like, so I don't look like I've just busted the seat.
It was excellent, and they had a really
That was probably good for your posture.
good, and they had a really good, really good, and reasonably priced bar. They had local beers
Yeah, it
in. They
was.
did special cocktails for the day. Yeah, it was great. It had everything. So yeah, definitely go. Shall we crack into the stuff that we watched yesterday then?
Yes.
Excellent. Right, if we go through in the order in which we saw them. So the first thing we saw was we saw a short called Collection Only, which is written by Alan Rees Morgan.
Who directed it as well? Yeah,
Yeah, I pissed myself the whole way through that.
it
It
was
was
that was great.
excellent.
It hit the mark, really.
Yeah, just an unusual encounter when someone goes to pick up a chair on Gumtree, and yeah, a very dark little hilarious tale is told.
It was great. It did. It was what, 10 minutes long, maybe, and it just had everything. It had over the top gore. It had some really chilling moments. It was absolutely hilarious.
A sweet little evil elderly lady who made some lovely looking tea.
Oh yeah, and again, that just set me up as well, because that was the thing. As soon as we saw that, I was like, right, I know what we're in for. We're in for some quality stuff today. Yeah, and I had a great time in that. And again, I'd forgotten that there were shorts. So when it started playing, I thought it was the film, and then I very quickly realised that it wasn't, and it was the short.
Yeah, I wasn't sure at first for a second.
But yeah, what a lovely little surprise that was. Yeah, that really raised my spirits.
I do always think, we'll talk about the other short as well, but it's an interesting skill being able to create something that does draw you in and does, give you enough substance that it's
Oh,
like,
yeah.
it's got to be an interesting, thing to try and make a short and get enough in there. And yeah, I certainly managed that.
Yeah, it was. It was just very self-contained, like it didn't leave any loose ends. Yeah, and it made me smile and made me cringe. And I think at one point I did literally go, oh, fuck, because it was so disgusting. I loved it. It was great. So that was the short before the pocket film of Superstitions.
Yes.
Yes. So who would like to kick off on this one?
If I may, basically, so to describe it, it's a basically like a almost like an old-fashioned documentary reel about various superstitions.
It felt and looked like Hackson.
Exactly. It's like, but it's yeah, it looks like 30 silent sort of cinema, like German expressionism sort of etc. It and yeah, with a lovely narration, just
That's
humorously
great.
listing superstitions, where they come from, and the weird sort of ways you can dispel them, or things that mean curses, and yeah, I thought it was really good. What it reminded me of, and this is a very obscure reference, so I apologize, but this might find one person, I don't know, but it had that thing of There's a comic in the Fortean Times. There's a comic strip called Phenomenix, and it's basically like they tell you things like it'll be, you know, the life of Aleister Crowley in five issues, like in five parts or whatever like that. But they're drawn like really great little humorous cartoon sort of figures, and you know, sort of filled with jokes and things like that. But it is like it's genuinely what they're telling, what the telling you the story, but in a humorous way, and you know, really just having fun with it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that was, I think. It's yeah, I wasn't,
Absolutely.
I think it was one of those things where you're like, I don't know if this is gonna sustain
Well, that's
when you
it.
realize what's happening.
Yeah. But
And then, yeah,
they
it
clearly
did.
thought of that, and it progressed. It did build up,
Yes.
and it did get extra depth. And what it there was certainly a few slightly shocking moments where it's like, okay, you've changed the feel of this enough that you've suddenly taken me out of what I was getting used to in a way that again balanced well, I would say. It wasn't,
Yeah.
you know, it
The
wasn't.
playfulness drops at certain points and gets
Yes,
a bit nasty.
oh, okay. But then drawn back in again to that wonderful narration of, yeah, such a great blend of humor, and eloquence, and yeah, like just great. And I almost there was points where I was thinking, oh, I could almost show this to my children, and then there was points I was like, no, definitely not right now. I'll skip that bit, but you know. It was such a charming, you know, walk through all of the sort of most well-known superstitions and a few lesser-known ones.
It was great, and the cast as well. Like, it's all people who we have seen in other indie stuff. So, you know, Danny Thompson was in it. Sy Henty was in it. Pablo was in it from The Snarling.
Yeah, the director. Oh God, what is his, yeah.
Pablo Ryebald.
Andrew Elias was actually there, who was in Casting Kill. You know
Yes.
the yeah, he was actually there. I saw on Instagram earlier,
Oh.
which is really annoying because we I'd have said hello,
I was going to say, yeah, if we'd known.
but yeah, oh, so friend of the show, Andrew Elias. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn there.
Good evening, sir. Raise a drink to you.
Yeah, but also you've got you had like Caroline Monroe, Lynn Lowry, Paula Piet. It's like, you know, you've got these like sort of more well-known names in there as well, like from sort of horror history and stuff like that. And the narration, the guy who did the narration is a guy called The Shend, who I think was there. And he's like this weirdly, I don't know much about him. It's just a name I've heard a lot. And yeah, he's just in the credits of lots of TV shows, I think, because he's a big, physically imposing, tall man. And so like he's in Knowing Me, Knowing You and Red Dwarf and sort of
Wow.
Torchwood and stuff like that. So it's a name that I'd
All right.
seen. But yeah, so he sort of tends to play these sort of like background, like heavies, you know, sort of barbarians and sort of things like that. But then you actually, he, you know, he's got a beautiful voice,
Yeah.
you know. And I don't know if that's why he's a legend. I don't know. But he's, yeah, his narration of this was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, I had the same feeling as you guys. Like, we wanted to, so the later film was the one that we'd gone to see primarily, but we said, oh, this looks like it could be interesting. But equally, I had a hit and miss feeling about it because I didn't know if the concept could sustain for a whole film. But yeah, as you say, it just had enough going on and enough like changes of tempo. Yeah, and I love the look and feel of it. I just thought
Yeah, so well
really, really
polished.
good.
because it was weirdly enough, I think there was in my head when I just sort of like read about it and didn't, I think I kind of thought it was kind of an anthology film, but in the more specific sense of like separate stories that are kind of the linking thing. But yeah, actually just as a sort of a series of sort of takes on these little sort of ideas and stuff, made it kind of more like a documentary, like you were watching an old educational newsreel or something like that. But also done in that sort of brilliant. Oh, and yes, this is the weird bit. The director of that is a guy called Thomas Lee Rutter, who I looked up. He's in The Haunting of the Lady Jane. He's one of the blokes on the, you know, there's the boat that follows them
Oh yeah, with the weird
with the weird
possible
guy.
sex
Yeah.
pests.
Yeah.
One, he's one of them. So,
Fair
but
play.
only in the context of that film, I hasten to
Yes, no aspersions. Yeah. Oh, that's excellent. See, that's what I love about this. And I do wonder if it's because of this horror festival scene that we kind of have around here with this and with Southend. Yeah, where you do get people in each other's films. So what, somebody will be an actor in something and then direct and write something, and people. One of the guys who we always see at Southend, I do follow him on Instagram. I can't remember his name at the moment. Yeah, he was actually in the film that we watched yesterday. He was in the pocket film.
Johnny Vivatch.
Possibly. I've seen him walking around and I've always said hello to him, and he's got a really interesting Instagram. But yeah, then he was one of the people in the seance scene sitting around the
Oh,
table.
right. Okay. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I can't quite remember his name at the moment. But yeah, I say I've just always seen him as one of the people at the festival who's always there and always says hello, but I don't really. And then all of a
Yeah,
sudden
it's great how they
he's
all come
in one
together
of
in
these.
different ways.
He was probably just on the piss with them all at some point and said, "Oh, I'd love to be in
Yeah.
one of these films." And I went, "Oh yeah, we'll put you as an extra in a thing." Yeah, and it's lovely. It's really good. I could be wrong. He could be an actor. I'm not saying he couldn't act. I'm just saying I've only ever seen him hanging around. So sorry if that is, you know. Oh, I've caused trouble now, haven't I? Unintentionally.
Dive.
But that's the thing, like, there's so many of these independent films that it's easy to not recognize people because there's so many of them out there. As much as I'd love to, you just can't get your head. They're hard because of the distribution to get hold of a lot of this stuff. I mean, look at last year. So, Horror on Sea, obviously, they'd done the Snarling, and then last year they did The Last Twitch, which I didn't make it to. And that hasn't been released. There's been no date on it and nowhere I can find. I've been trying to get hold of that film now for over a year and it's just still not out there. So there's so many of these films that are out there that even if you're searching for them, you just can't find them. It's a, yeah. But yeah, you know, just a thought on
No,
that.
it's in a way, it's really annoying that you're actually having, you feel like you've gone back to the olden days, the very olden days, you know, where it's like, well, if it was on the telly once, you might have seen it.
Yeah, and once it's gone, it's gone. The amount of stuff that when we've gone to Horror on Sea that's been on days that we've not gone to, and I've said, I definitely need to check that out. Yeah, and I've just never managed to track it down, or it comes out on limited release of like 200 DVDs, and if you miss that window, like it's gone, and you just don't get to pick this stuff up. But again, it is nice to have that rarity and that collector's thing. Like, I've got a few DVDs in my collection that I've bought literally just because they've been on a release of 150 copies or whatever, and then it's once it's gone, it's gone, and they don't do them again. And it's lovely to, in a you know in the YouTube era to have something that still feels rare and hard to get hold of.
But
That's because I'm an
it's
old man.
worrying when that rare and difficult to get hold of thing is 28 days later.
Yeah,
just fucking mental at that point. You're like, yeah, there's probably no hope of seeing these things if you, that can apparently slip through the fucking net. Yeah.
Yes, sorry, I took us off on a tangent there. As you can tell, I am still drinking from yesterday. So yes, so the next film that we caught up with again had a short before it. So we saw the short Kin. Anyone want to talk
James
about
Waterhouse was the director for that, yeah. Yeah, which was a
Pretty
snippet
Badass Woman.
of a snippet of a snippet of a badass woman in a on a bad day in a bad time. It was
Yes.
sort of, I don't know, you know, it was like a little.
Arguably, what could quite possibly happen? Yeah.
Oh, mate,
The way we're heading.
It's sort
If
of
Amazon disappeared
unnamed
tomorrow,
apocalypse now just feels like, oh, probably that. Yeah.
yeah, it did. It felt more of a show reel to me, possibly, than a short, because there was, as you say, like there was no real context for a lot of it. And it just felt, but as you say, it was that just dropped in for a snippet. It was unexplained, post-apocalyptic. You didn't quite know what was going on. There was a woman on her own with a child. There was some kind of a compound which she'd snuck into to try and steal some canned food. And then she just proceeded to beat the shit out of a load of people who were trying to stop her from stealing that food. It was beautifully shot. It looked fantastic. But
I
yeah,
think
just on its own, I felt a bit, what?
I'm sh I'm I should have checked before we came on, but I did see, I'm sure I saw in the credits that I think it was like the fight choreographers were the actors in it. So I wonder if it was like, it was almost like a show reel of their,
To be
like,
fair,
you know,
if I wanted
abilities and
some
everything. Because
action
it,
like that, I'd probably be contacting them.
it looked
Yeah.
incredible,
Yeah,
didn't it? Like it was
it's great.
just, it like, and it was people being smashed through walls,
Yeah.
and it just looked like, it looked like an Avengers style budget,
Yeah.
didn't it? Like nothing about it looked cheap or shoddy. It looked fantastic. The choreography was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Choreography,
say
it was like the Wraith. You know,
it
it was
was
just really
exactly.
fucking intense, you know.
Yeah. It did. It looked fantastic. I say it just as a standalone short, it didn't kind of have enough of a carry through of the story. It was just a very small shot. But what we saw was absolutely phenomenal. It was intense and powerful, and yeah, it looked brutal, didn't it? Like the fight scene looked so. What I loved was the sound. It didn't have, when there was punches and kicks, it didn't have that overblown sound. Seems
No, it, yeah.
unrealistic. It sounded like a
That
heavy
is it,
slap.
right? I mean,
Yeah.
I haven't been to a huge amount of independent film festivals, but the production does seem to be, you know, impressive in the ones I've seen. So either you've both picked, you know, especially well, or yeah, it's really fantastic how well they can produce these.
I think that's the thing. I think in the now people can buy stuff. So if you've got a talent, and I think that's the thing with company, you know, with stuff like this. So like Romford, and to go back to the South End one as well,
Yeah.
Horronte. I'm guessing they get an awful lot of people put stuff in, and they get to
Yeah.
choose the stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And that's the way it should be, you know, like you pick the stuff that's got real talent and really shines through, and looks like what you want, really. You know, you want to, people are paying ticket prices, they want to be impressed, so you kind of pick the cream and leave everything behind. But yeah, I think it's a great time at the moment that people can, you know, you can buy a camera for a few hundred quid, and if you've got
Yeah.
the talent and the know-how, you can make something look exceptional.
Yeah,
Do it
definitely.
for your phone.
Or you could do it on your phone. Yeah.
And that is why I will not make my masterpiece.
because your iPhone has only got so many gigs, and you've got to save some for your WhatsApps and your.
Yeah, can help. Number of GIFs I've got saved in there, not in the cloud, mate. In there, burning circuits.
Yes, so our final feature length, so our second feature length of yesterday, we saw How to Kill Monsters.
Yeah.
Yes, I sort of had a flick through of films, and I recognised Lindsay Crane, who we'd seen previously in Eating Miss Campbell. So I thought, oh, we've seen her in something. She was pretty good. And I watched the trailer for this, and immediately I was like, right, we're going on Saturday because I need to go and see that on a big screen with a crowd. It looks like it's going to be funny and an all-out gore fest.
So I didn't watch the trailer. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't really know anything about it. At this point, I was like, well, so far you guys have done a fantastic job. So I did have reasonably high expectations, and glad to say it achieved all of them and possibly went over and above.
Yes, so the director's Stuart Spark. Now, have you seen that he's also done he's done a film before this with a number of the same cast called Book of Monsters. I don't
The
know if that
name
had come
rings a
across,
bell.
if you'd come across that, Lee, because just because it is, as far as I'm aware, that's out and viewable, somewhere.
Yeah, the cover definitely looks. Yeah, I've seen the cover somewhere, but I haven't seen the film. But yeah, having seen this now, I will 100% be trying to track a copy of that down, I think.
Yeah, as I say, it's got pretty much the same not the same, sorry, it's got a lot of the same cast members in it.
Ah,
So
excellent.
now
Yeah.
the comedy style of this did remind me of The Snarling.
Yeah.
It was just done just right, mixing the drama, the slightly weirdness, a little bit awkward sometimes, and yeah, just a great range of cast playing off each other.
It's that lovely thing of the weird butting against the mundane,
Yeah.
but like the very mundane, sort of.
It mentioned just very quickly though, mentioning the trailer, you're saying you didn't watch the trailer. What I particularly liked, if I'm remembering correctly, the trailer sets the film up to just be that opening part in the cabin. So everything that comes
Okay.
afterwards,
That's
you might
interesting.
see in flashes, but it sets it up as if it's a whole story in that cabin.
Yeah,
And
okay.
without giving spoilers, which I've just accidentally done,
It turns out
that is
as
only the opening of how it all kicks off,
yeah.
and then it goes fucking mental from there. So I really liked that, like the fact that the trailer kind of tricks you into thinking it's something it isn't, but you
Disguises
totally
it.
get what you
It
want. Yeah.
did definitely
Yeah.
have a nice twist. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and l like you said, like with it has that same sort of thing. So it's a girl is led from a cabin covered in blood by the police. There's four bodies there. She's clearly the suspect and is taken to the police station to ask about it. And then she tells the story of how monsters from another dimension were involved.
And
And
they absolutely have self-awareness about what they're doing with this.
yes.
Yes. It's clearly, yeah, an in-joke if you've appreciated any other horror even close to this.
It has, yeah, it's definitely, it knows that it knows it's daft, and but it's quite happy to deal with that. But
And deal with it
also,
effectively with a
yeah,
chainsaw if
but I
needed.
don't find anything within the scenes moving away from that. It's like the
Yeah.
sort of, yeah,
You still
it's
get to
just.
enjoy all of that, the original horror aspect with the extra layer added.
Yeah. And I was quite, Lee got an Lee got a poke in the ribs and me excitedly going, "It's Nicholas Vince.
Yeah.
Nicholas Vince. Chakra. Chakra Hellraiser. Chakra." So, yeah. So Nicholas Vince, who played Chatterer in Hellraiser.
I got to say, his role in this was top quality.
Again, just subverting expectation and not
Yeah,
going the way you expected your
absolutely.
character to in such a brilliant and hilarious way.
Yeah.
Yes. Which everybody in this did. Like, I really liked everything. Like, I thought all
Some
the
several
characters
times.
were. Yeah, I just thought all the characters were great. They all worked perfectly well together. All the actors were on the same page. It looked great. It sounded really good. It was ridiculous in the right places, but it still had a really suspenseful feeling to it. Yeah, I had an absolute blast watching this, and I was gutted when it ended, if honest.
And it actually, I mean, it does, and it does sort of, it does have its share of surprises, and sort of, it's not just straight ahead. And yeah, and I mean, it looked amazing. It had Tony from Dinner Ladies in it. That's always a good sign. So.
It's great. I was saying, I think Lindsay Crane is going to be one to watch. This is the second film I've seen with her in. And yeah, both of them are fantastic and exactly my cup of tea, especially the type of film like this to watch at a film festival with a load of people and you've all been drinking all day and everyone's in that party mood.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'd gladly watch this again at home. I definitely will be watching this again at home when I can get hold of it. But yeah, it's a great film to watch with a crowd, and everyone was laughing and everyone was just having a whale of a time. It was such a fun movie. It's perfect for a festival like this, I think.
Yeah, really is.
We've all gone very quiet for a long time.
Yeah, I was actually, because I could still see you moving, so I was like, has my microphone gone?
I thought
So
I should stop talking because I've been waffling for quite a
we was we were no, I think we've no, I'm going to put that with, that's not dead air. That is the stunned silence of how much
while.
fun we had
Yes, I'm
at
leaving this
the
in. I can even
Romford.
hear Claire laughing in the background at that. Right, fuck it, I'm leaving that in
This poor woman, this
there.
poor woman, she had to put up with me gadivanting around the countryside.
Romford is the countryside now. Is that where we're going? We've said it's
Well,
London.
I'm
We can't.
first syllable's right.
Well.
That beautiful note.
But yeah, so go and check out How to Kill Monsters. Go and check out the pocketbook of Pocketbook of
Pocket film of
Superstitions.
superstition.
That's it. I
Superstition,
keep
yeah.
calling it book. I'm terrible.
It's because it is, it should be in your head,
It is,
but I love even that concept, that it's like, well, you just take the little
The little
reel of
reel and
film with
put it in
you
your pocket.
and put it in your pocket. And it was just that just appealed to me. It was just so, yeah, just brilliant.
Yeah, it was. It was lovely. So it was a lovely day and it was really good and we had a really good laugh. So yeah, go and check it out next year, people. Check out the films we saw. There's so much stuff on there as well that now I've seen the stuff that we saw. Now I'm gutted for the stuff we missed. So I'm going to be,
Yes.
again, like I say, some of it's going to be hard to find because it's
I was
independent. So it takes a little while to come out sometimes. But
also I forgot to mention, in the like in the program, like they do classic films as well during the day.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't realise that until now. But yeah, they had
Yeah.
some great. Oh God, they showed Turbo Kid and we missed it.
They showed the fucking Medusa touch. I need to see that on the big screen.
See, and this is what I love about independent cinemas like that. Like, I'd love to. See, I don't know. I thought when it first reopened, that was one of my first thoughts is if we could get an equivalent of the Prince Charles in Romford, that'd be awesome. Where they do like all-nighters and they do regular classic showings. So yeah, like, oh, we're just going to show Big Trouble in Little China, or you know, like those, and they do show that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's awesome that they've taken the opportunities they've got of not being part of a chain and really embraced that. I was really hoping that they would. I know it can be a bit of a gamble, but I feel there's enough people. And I mean, Romford is fairly easy to get to from anywhere in London right now, especially with the Elizabeth line. So hopefully that's only going to bolster their, you know, their customers. Yeah. And they'll
But not to the
continue.
point that we can't get in tickets.
Oh yeah, no, don't fucking fill the place out so we don't get in, pricks. But if you're not a prick and you're not too many people, then come, it'd be lovely.
You're not too many people.
You know what I mean?
Sorry.
That's all right. But yeah, so yeah, I'd love to get to a point where it's like that, like the Prince Charles, where they do kind of, you know, like the breakfast clubs they do and stuff, where they show it regularly and do like an early Sunday film and the Hangover Club and all that stuff. So yeah, fingers crossed. But yeah, go and check out Premier Cinema at Romford. It's a great place to go and watch all your films anyway. If you're in the area, over any of the other cinemas, I'm going to go on record and say that because it's great. Whenever I get a chance, if I'm going to the cinema, which I don't do very often, that is the place I'll go. Yeah, and I'll definitely be there for next year for the horror show.
Even if we do go a month
Absolutely.
early, I'll go twice.
I'll get the
It's
date right next time. It'd be fine.
fine.
Right. Thanks ever so much for listening, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.